We're turning our attention now to wildflowers, and in particular, the wildflowers of Wisconsin and the Great Lakes region. Larry Mueller here, my guest by way of telephone today. Emma Djajevic, who is an associate professor of botany and forestry in the Department of Biology at UW-Stevens Point, and he's the co-author, along with Merrill Black, of the book is titled Wildflowers of Wisconsin and the Great Lakes Region, a comprehensive field guide. Second edition. It's published by the University of Wisconsin Press. And Emmett, as I said, he's about six time zones away here. He's currently spending time at the University of Canterbury, Christchurch, New Zealand, where the maples are turning red, the oaks are yellow, and goldenrods and asters are in flower. Kind of an upside down plant world from what we have here. Emmett, thank you for being with us today.
Nice to talk with you, Larry.
I really appreciate it. I really appreciate your book as well. You have, what, more than 1,000 species of wildflowers represented in your book, do you not?
Yeah, we have about 1,100, and I think most field guides have a lot less than that. I would talk about micro, meso, and macro size field guides. Ours is a macro size. Most field guides would be about 500 species of flowers, and some are simplified more than that. So we have a pretty big selection. I would say if you walked out the door and you came to the first naturally growing flower you saw in Wisconsin, the chances would be 99.99, add as many nines as you want, percent that the picture of that flower would be in our book.
Yeah, I am amazed at the number of photos that you have in the book. Describe how you've organized the book, because it's really great.
We've organized the book by family, basically, and we don't use flower color. I mean, we do use flower color, but we think that with this many species, you have to have kind of a grasp of family characters. It's not hard to do either. You can recognize a pea, you can recognize a daisy, you can recognize a rose. You're well on your way to using the book. And we have not formal keys, but kind of quasi keys that kind of guide you into the right choice of flowers. And I also think that just paging through a wildflower book repeatedly is really useful to learn flowers. Things you haven't seen yet but are about to see, you will kind of stick in your mind.
And this book is, it's 270-some pages, but it's the kind that you can take with you outside.
Yeah, it's truly a field guide, not something that's really oversized. Actually, I haven't seen the second edition. I don't have it in front of me since I'm out here. Is it nice? I don't know.
Oh, it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And obviously, as I'm sure you know, there are a few changes from the first edition, which obviously sold very well and was a popular edition.
Right. The first edition was 2,000 copies, and that all sold out within, I think, about 6 or 8 months. That first edition, I should say, was put out by Cornerstone Press, which is a student-run press in our University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point. So it was all edited by students, actually. And actually, we couldn't find a publisher for this field guide when we tried to market it about a year and a half ago, Merrill Black and I. And but once it was published, then University of Wisconsin Press was very interested in the second edition.
And I don't know how many photos you would have in this book, but...
Well, yeah, we have about 2,500, and we have actually about 50 photographers contributed to the book. Merrill and myself are the main contributors, but I would say a strong number three is Dr. Bob Freckman, one of my mentors from UW-Stevens Point. And then we have many people who have contributed to the photos in the book, obviously.
So, yeah, and so good photos of the plant itself, and often an extra photo of the flower that may be with the plant, and then some diagrams or little photos showing or pictures showing Wisconsin and where you might find a particular plant.
Right, if I could jump in, that's really, I think, one of the good things of the book. There's a little map of Wisconsin with the counties colored in which the plant has been verified. A lot of field guides don't have that, and so if you live in Dane County and think you see a plant that has a distribution only in the far northern part of the state, you're probably wrong in your identification, and vice versa. So that was, I think, one reason that it wasn't quite marketable to some other publishers outside the region. They didn't like the fact that it was so concentrated on Wisconsin and not neighboring states as well.
Well, and you do have the common names of families in there, but you also have their scientific names.
Yeah, we do. And another, I think, thing about the book that many people have commented on is that we do explain what the scientific names mean, both the genus and species.
Yeah.
Kind of cool, and oftentimes helps you remember the name of the plant also.
Well, some callers online. By the way, you can join in with your question or comment as we talk wildflowers with our guest today, Emmett Ujevich. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. It's 800-642-1234 or email at talk@WPR.org. Bill in Marshfield is up with a question. Bill, hello.
Oh, hi. Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have about an acre of land that was previously farmed with soybeans last year, and I'm no longer renting it out, and I plan to, what I'd like to do is put wildflowers in there to try to attract butterflies and bees, and I'm not really sure how I should prepare the soil. I was thinking of maybe putting buckwheat in there the first year, and then maybe, you know, planting next year, but do you have any recommendations on how to get started with that?
Well, Bill, I have to say my expertise is not in restoration and planting. While I'm a terrible gardener, I don't have any garden at home. I kill all my houseplants. So I would say you want to contact an organization like the Wild Ones or Prairie Enthusiasts.
Yes.
Just Google both of those names. I think there's a new chapter of one of those two right in central Wisconsin in Washera County based out of. And I'm sorry, I can't remember which one it is, but it's Wild Ones and Prairie Enthusiasts. And there is a local chapter. They'd be able to help you and make suggestions about how to prepare the soil and what to plant in a place like that. What kind of a soil is it? Is it a sandy or a loamy soil,
it's
would you say?
It's a pretty rich soil.
Loamy.
Pretty rich soil.
Mm.
Yeah. So it's probably a forest at one point, not a sand barrens or prairie. So, you'd have to contact them.
All right. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Sorry.
Yvonne and Brown Deer, your turn. Hi, Yvonne.
Hello. I hope that you can help me find some seeds for the native violets.
Seeds for the native violets. Once again, I really don't plant stuff myself, so I don't know. You could try those two organizations I just mentioned. They may have people that go out and gather wild seeds and distribute them to their members. Or I guess you could go out and gather wild violet seeds yourself if it was suitable public land. Let's see, what else can I offer?
Those are probably the best suggestions. Although Bonnie has from Almena, Wisconsin, has a comment, I think, about picking flowers. Bonnie, hi.
Yeah.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Yes.
My question is, I'm a wildflower enthusiast. I just, you know, drive along the road and you see beautiful flowers, and you know, I'd love to. And from time to time, I've pulled over and picked some and, you know, made bouquets. And yet, I've heard don't do that because there are some flowers that are protected. Is there a guide, or how do you know what flowers are protected, or what flowers that you find along the dishes that you can pick?
Yeah, there are several laws that apply to wildflowers. There's federal laws and state laws for endangered species. We have very few federally listed species in Wisconsin with flowers, quite a few state listed species, but things that are not likely to be found in a ditch driving along on the highway. So I would recommend that you learn the flora, learn the identifications of the plants using our guide or other ones. I think most things along the ditches and highways, along right-of-ways, that's public land, and you could pull over and pick them, unless they happen to be endangered or threatened on the state level, which is kind of unlikely in most places. The way the wildflower laws work in Wisconsin, I worked for the DNR for many years, is that if it's your own land, then you can do whatever you want to the plants, if they're state-listed, if they're state-threatened or endangered. However, if it's on a public land, let's say a state forest or a state park, then of course you can't pick any if it's a state park, and you can't destroy endangered or threatened plants if it's a state forest. So you're up in Malmena there in Barron County, I think.
Correct.
My guess is that there wouldn't be much on those highway margins that would be protected, I would think. You go ahead and collect them. Although even there in that part of the state, there are some railroad prairies, remnant prairies along railroads that might have some protection. If you saw a bunch of prairie plants growing on a railroad, for example, you might want to pause and take a look at them pretty carefully.
All right.
And are the ones that are protected, are they listed in your book?
Yes, they are. We have little icons, endangered. They're all listed on there. Also, the DNR website, if you just go to Endangered Resources, Wisconsin DNR, there'll be a list of species there. But, yeah, they're in our book, a little notation for each species, if they're protected or not, and if they're native or exotic also, and if they have poisonous properties.
All right.
Well, perfect. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it, Bonnie. And Keita in Phelps, we'll turn to you next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good.
And Emmett, love your book. Used last summer. And one complaint, though, the pages stick when they get wet.
What about the new edition, though? Is that I know the first edition, the cover curled. What about the second edition? You're going to have to take that and field test it for me.
I will, because I haven't seen the second edition, but I dropped the first edition a couple times in a bog, and then everything stuck and became useless.
the second edition, I think it's kind of glossy. The cover's kind of glossy, and the pages are the same way. I mean, if you drop them in the water, it's probably going, there's going to be some problems. But it seems pretty sturdy to me, and just normal rain or whatever isn't really going to do much to them.
Yeah, don't drop it in the bog, Keita.
I'm trying not to. But, when you're juggling a bunch of stuff, things happen.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
All right. Hope you're having a good time, Emmett.
Thanks
a lot for calling. Appreciate it. By the way, I mentioned earlier you're in New Zealand, and what are you studying in New Zealand?
I'm actually teaching a course to UW Stevens Point students. We have 10 of them out here, and they're taking a course on biology of New Zealand from me, and they're taking 3 courses from KiwiProp. So it's part of our semester abroad program, and we're kind of proud at point that fact that 20% of our undergraduates actually do study abroad, Germany, Hungary, Poland, Australia, New Zealand, China. And so I'm out here for 3 months with students. And last weekend we had a great time. We went up to Kaikoura, and they actually got to swim with dolphins.
Oh, man.
Cool.
Sounds wonderful. Let's go to Hildegard in Medford next. Hi, thank you for calling.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
We've been trying to determine whether and how trilliums are pollinated. We have about 7 different sources all saying different things. Some say bees, some say yes, all kinds of insects, some say no insects at all, some say they've been in the patch for years and there's only seen 2 carpenter bees, some say bumblebees. What information do you have on that and what sources?
Wisconsin trilliums, Surinam and Grandiflora.
Actually, I don't know what pollinates trilliums offhand. I would guess bees. I think I've seen bees pollinate them, but I can't swear to it. But a really good source for trillium information would be Fred Case's book, Trilliums. Fred Case of Saginaw, Michigan. It's like the source in the world for trillium information, and I would go to him. I know that some trilliums, like the one in southeast Wisconsin near Milwaukee, I grew up in that area, the purple trillium or wake robin has a very rotten smell, very unpleasant smell, so I suspect that flies may be pollinating it early in the spring, thinking it's rotten meat. So I know at least some are probably flies. I want to mention that trilliums have a really cool fruit. It looks like a strawberry if you come there in midsummer. It's red and about half an inch in diameter. It's kind of a cool thing.
All right.
Well, actually, though, the Case doesn't know for sure either. We have Case's book.
Yeah.
And there are so many different versions, and some just simply say, we think bees pollinated, but they have no, and then others say they have sat for years and never watched a single bee except maybe one carpenter bee.
Yeah. Well, it's true, too, that we have so many species, and people just don't know what pollinates these things. It takes a master's degree, a PhD, of someone actually studying that species or a group of species to figure out what does pollinate them. So, go for it.
There's another degree.
Yeah.
There's another grad degree. Thanks for calling, Hildegard. I appreciate it. I want to get, by the way, you can join in, too, at 1-800-642-1234. But let's go to Al now in Abrams. Al, hello to you.
Well, Larry, hello, Emmett. I want to say that I had the opportunity to work with Emmett in his previous career with the state, and he's a great field botanist, and anybody who has the opportunity should take it to go out in the field with Emmett. And I'd like to warn people or caution people about picking seeds or taking plants off right-of-ways. You might have problems with parking, run into problems with law enforcement on parking on the right-of-way. And I know the State Department of Transportation has regulations about taking seed and plant material off the right-of-way. They may have planted that to begin with, and they don't want people walking off with their plant material. So
okay.
Really be careful about that. I would check. Every DOT region has an environmental coordinator, and they could get that off of DOT's website and contact them before they take any plant material off the site.
All right.
Right. Thanks for the correction, Al.
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
We had another email from somebody who wonders about the impact of invasive species on our wildflowers of Wisconsin. Have invasive species had a big impact?
I think they have in numbers of wildflowers, but there's been some recent studies that show that Dave Rogers, University of Wisconsin, that perhaps the invasives don't drive native species to extinction, native wildflowers to extinction, but they do perhaps reduce them in numbers. So, yes, if you were to go to, let's say, a woods along Lake Michigan, garlic mustard may be very abundant, and I'm sure that has an effect on the number of wildflower species you get in the spring there. So, yes, it does have an effect. I mean, things like purple loosestrife will crowd out a wetland to the exclusion of any other wildflower growing there.
Jim and LaCrosse on board now. Jim, hello to you.
Hi. Hey, Ahmed. I'm wondering. I'm a regular visitor to the UW Herbarium's website. As I'm out collecting plants and looking at their range maps as much as anything while I'm collecting, and I know there's aren't up to date because it's impossible to keep up to date. And I'm just wondering, how much work did you guys actually do making your range maps?
Actually, the range maps were mainly made at UW-Madison about 5 or 10 years ago, and we're kind of updating them, and so are they. So that took a lot of work. And I should mention there that my first author, Merrill, is too shy to appear on the radio. But she, if anyone deserves a Nobel Prize for botany in Wisconsin in the last 10 or 15 years, it's her. She's a retired computer programmer, and she's put in probably 20,000 hours pro bono on just what you mentioned, mapping species of a plant in the state, and also putting together this book, which I checked and added photos to. So, it took a lot of work. And did I answer your question?
I didn't think. I mean, it's kind of hard to come up with a definitive answer. I certainly want to get a copy of this, add it to my collection.
Yeah. I was going to mention, too, that the public can actually help by filling in those gaps in those range maps. And we would like a photograph with a GPS location for a plant that you think occurs in your county that hasn't been filled in for one of those, the counties are filled in green. So that'll be helpful. We actually do accept photo vouchers like that emailed to us, but we would like to have very detailed site information so we can add that to the database if you think you found a new wildflower for your county.
Well, everything I collect ends up at UWGB. I've got a couple thousand specimens in there. So.
Oh, with Gary, yeah, sure.
That's where I did most of my work, and I know I added 20 or 30 new species of Brown County when I was at UWGB. So.
Right. Well, you can collect, too, but once again, as the previous caller mentioned, you've got to be careful what you collect and where you collect, so I'm not encouraging collecting for unless you really know what you're doing. So.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. Thanks, Jim, for calling. Appreciate it. And we'll take some more calls. Diane in Athens, your turn. Hi, Diane.
Hi. I have a question. If I just tuned into your show, so I didn't hear all of it and what is all involved included in the book that he's talking about, but I was wondering if trailing arbutus flowers still exist in Wisconsin.
Yes, they do. It's one of my favorite flowers. It's an early flower, and trailing arbutus is actually a shrub. It's woody, and we do have about several dozen shrubs in the book, not just wildflowers, shrubs that would look like flowers, low-growing plants. And trailing arbutus is cool. It actually has petals that you can eat. If you pluck them off and eat them, they're really delicious. They have a melon or orange-like flavor to them. Yeah, it does grow in Wisconsin throughout the north and central parts of the state.
Oh, okay.
All right. Thanks.
Are they included in the book?
Yes.
Yep.
Oh, all right. Thank you very much.
Thanks very much for calling. Again, I should remind everybody the book title is Wildflowers of Wisconsin and the Great Lakes Region, a comprehensive field guide. Merrill Black and our guest today, Emmett Ujevich, are the authors, and it's in its second edition, published by the University of Wisconsin Press. Brahm in Flatwood, Minnesota, we're on to you now. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, just just a quick question. I was just curious if Emmett still makes a really good home brew.
Must be an old friend.
Actually, I've gotten out of that and make home wine and cider now. So,
all right.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot for...
I do want to mention that we have a website at Stevens Point. It's called Wisplants, W-I-S Plants. Just Google that. And we've gotten about 20 million hits per year on that site. We have just... It's loaded with information about wildflowers in various aspects.
And again, that's Wisplants?
Wisplants.uwsp.edu. But if you just Google Wisplants, you'll find it.
Okay, and the book itself how long did you spend on this? This had to be a real labor of love to put this together.
Well, you know, we began taking pictures 20, 30 years ago, so it's been that long if you look at it that way. But actually putting the book together took about a year and a half, I would say. And Merrill did most of the work. I checked the facts, contributed a lot of figures, and then for the second edition I wrote the introductory chapter, which discusses plant communities in Wisconsin, natural communities, which kind of sets the flowers in their context. For each community, we have a list of the rare flowers that might occur in that community.
And the audience, who's the audience for your book? Anybody, I would think.
Yeah, anyone who's interested in nature, I think. If you're beyond just learning a couple dozen or a couple hundred common wildflowers and really want to know the flowers of your region, this is the book for you, I believe.
Yeah, I would certainly think so. Well, what time is it now? It's about 6 in the morning or almost 6:30 in the morning in New Zealand?
It's still dark here, yeah.
So, and what's on your schedule for today, Emmett?
I'm probably going to go hiking in the Port Hills outside town, take a bus out there and hike along the hills and see the native forest and things. Although New Zealand's kind of a lonesome landscape. There are very few birds and no mammals, so.
but it's got to be a great experience for you and for your UW-Stevens Point students. Man.
Yeah, it is.
Thank you so much for being with us today, Emmett. I really appreciate it. What's that website again?
wisplants.uwsp.edu.
Thank you so much for taking time and getting out of bed early and talking with us. I really appreciate it, Emmett.
Right. Thanks a lot, Larry. I enjoyed it.
Emmett Ujevich, co-author with Merrill Black. Merrill Black is actually listed as the first author on this, Wildflowers of Wisconsin and the Great Lakes Region. Merrill's been an honorary fellow in botany at the UW-Madison and the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point, and she's done a marvelous job along with Emmett of putting this book together, Wildflowers of Wisconsin and the Great Lakes Region, second edition published by UW Press, and it's available now. Get yourself a copy. And just to let you know, Monday we'll talk computing with Peter Green of InfoStar. Have a great weekend. Stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Network.